I try not only to teach you in Revelation, but to indoctrinate you with good sound wisdom and good sound words for the good of your soul, whereby you can escape the snares of Satan and not be caught in the reasoning of your own mind and what you think you can get by with. To let you know the truth. You say, well, I already know it. I don't need you to teach me. Well, if you know it, you're doing a poor job of showing it. The Bible said a child is known by his doing, and you're not being a very good example to the others around you. Whereas the Bible said you ought to shine as a light in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, that men might see your good works, not what you think or say, but what you're doing, your good works, and glorify the Father in heaven. So I say that if we are to be an example, we're going to have to think right. The Lord will feed us the fruits of our thoughts. And there's a fruit that comes forth from your thinking. One is the forbidden fruit of unrighteousness, and one is the hallowed fruits of God. So there's two minds that's working in there against your mind, trying to get control. One of them has corrupt fruits, and the tree will eventually decay. The other has fruits of life, and will make the tree healthy. The Bible said make it good or bad, so God won't cut it down. Let's turn over into the book of Revelation. If you've got your Bibles, let's just have a little discussion tonight. I think, personally, things like this you have a right to disagree with me on if you want to, because you're sovereign, and you can do that if you like. I don't believe that any man, and I'm honest, I don't believe any person, man, woman, boy, girl, it's old enough to understand, has any right to disagree with the pastor at all, not even on one point. I've heard people say, well, I feel like that I can disagree with you if I want to. No, you can't. I don't know where you got that out of the Bible. I don't know who taught it to you or what hatched it up in your mind, but there's no such teaching in the Bible. You can't do that. You can disagree with me as far as something that is not pertaining to the Holy Scriptures, because that's your sovereignty. That's the man part of it. But when it comes to the Word of God, if you disagree with me, you either got to come and get it right with me, or you've got to move out to another church and get with somebody that you fully agree with. Not partially agree with, but fully. You say, well, I'll never find nobody like that. Well, you're in bad shape. God's going to have a people like that. There's no need of coming trying to tell me that there's nobody in the world like that. Because the Bible said God will have a people that will see eye to eye, speak the same thing. He said, until we all come into the unity of the faith, and that faith is by the hearing of the Word, into what the Word has to say about it. You might be at a place that you don't understand something. Now, you might be at a place that you haven't grown into it, and you don't understand it, because we're all growing. But now, if you take that and you go around and you say, well, I don't understand, and you pick the pastor apart and you cause division, that's a devil. It isn't that you don't understand. You're just using that for a crutch, and you're hypocriting on God and using it to tear up what God's doing. So that's a devil to begin with. Ain't no such thing as that. But a brother that truthfully don't understand, he'll come to the pastor and he'll seek for understanding or get with the brethren and discuss it in love and say, brethren, I don't understand. I see the thing like this, and I'd like to find out something. And then if the brethren try to explain to him and he can't see it, and he just says, no, you're wrong, I know I'm right, the thing for him to do is hit the road. Because he's out of harmony with the brethren. He's not going along with them. There's no need of him staying there causing trouble. The thing to do is hit the road and go on down the trail. Because he's not with them, and he's not going to pull them into it, because it's not his job to pull them into it. If he can't convince the pastor of it, the thing for him to do is leave. That's the way to do it. That way there's no division. You say, but maybe God wants the pastor to know it. If he does, he'll give it to him. If he don't get it, and you can't get him to see it, the Bible said a man can't receive nothing save it be given him of God. God's hid it from him. He intends for it to be hid from him. You say, well, then people be with him. Well, God intends for them to go to hell with him. If God intends to hide it from him and he's honest, then God intends to hide it from them. Somebody said, now where do you get that? Because in the Old Testament, God, the Bible said he fought against Israel and caused David to number Israel. He prepared David's heart to do it and to do the thing he did so he could bring his wrath on Israel. Is that Bible? The Bible said he sought fault against Israel, not against David, but against Israel. So he prepared the shepherd's heart to where he could smite them because of what they did. In other words, what I'm saying is you don't have nothing that's going to justify your devilish doings. So you might as well get it out of your mind. There's not one thing that's going to justify your devilish doings. It's either got to be according to the Bible or not at all. If I disagreed with the pastor, I'd go to him and I'd say, "Pastor, I disagree with you on this scripture. I can't get it, but I love you, and I'm not going to sow discord among the brethren. I'm going to sit under your teachings, and I love you, and if you'll allow me to, I want you to know that I won't be trying to teach nobody this. I'll stay here with you and listen to what you've got to say. And if you can, I wish you'd consider it. And if I'm wrong, that I can come to it. And if you're wrong, that you can come to it." That's the only way that I see that you ought to stay in a flock and you ought to keep your word and do it. All right? In the book of Revelation, there are so many things that I would like to talk about. Let's read in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwelleth therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name." Here is wisdom. "Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. All right, now, I want to teach just a little bit on this, and I want you to listen as much as you can. Now, I have men here with me that are very contrary to me, and I know they're contrary. I know their spirits are contrary to me, and I know their jealousy, and they can't hardly stand me having a place of preeminence, even though they know in their foolishness, they know God has ordained it. And one right now, it's just grinding at him right now because he has to hold his peace. It's just grinding at him. He can't hardly stand it. But the Lord's going to tear his hide up sooner or later. So just let him go on his way. But you that will, listen. Be very careful what you think. Brother Branham told him one time, he said, watch your thoughts. And when you're in the house of God, you watch your thoughts. He said, bring every thought into subjection. This man that I'm speaking of is a troublemaker. He's a good man, but he's a troublemaker. He's got a spirit that's a troublemaking spirit. And he's probed that by another man. And they commune together so they can cause trouble. And one day the Lord's going to tear them to pieces. One's able to hold his peace real good and hold his spirit so as not to interfere. The other doesn't do such a good job. He can't hardly do it. He stays under condemnation about it. And every time he gets in my presence, I can tell it. But now, just pass on over that because the day will come of the reaping. and then they'll get the thing straightened out. It'll be too late then when the Lord deals with them, but they'll remember it for a long time. I want to say something to you here, brethren, if I can. And I want you to listen real good. Now, I'll try not to take long because I know it's uncomfortable out there. I know you don't have the best of facilities. But if you'll just be patient and listen, I'll try to talk just a little while and dismiss. Now, it's not really as cold as it seems, but it's just when you have a lot of heat, the pores of your skin get open. And then when they get open, the least little coolness makes it seem uncomfortable. So it's not really as bad as you think it is. Now, let's just take a little discussion. I feel a little bad in trying to discuss this, and in that Brother Zale Carnes is not here, and he asked me to try to discuss this when he was here. And I probably won't get into much discussion on tonight anyway, because I really don't have that much time. And being cool, people are not going to, I'm not going to be able to keep their attention that long anyway, and I just have to say the few words I can. But I want you to notice this now from the literal perspective of it. It said, I saw this beast come up out of the waters. Now, it came up out of the waters. First, he said, I saw it come upon the sand of the sea. I saw it come up out of the waters. And we're taught here that the waters is people. The waters that this beast came out of is people. It came up out of people. Scientists say the greater part of the body is water. And it came up out of a great body of people. Now, I don't know whether you understand this or not. I'm sure that some of you do. I say it for the benefit of them that don't and to stir up the minds of them that perhaps do. Peter said, though you know these things, and I feel it meet to stir up your minds by way of remembrance of these things as long as I'm in this tabernacle. I don't know whether you understand this or not, but God in every dimension, natural dimension, physical dimension, spiritual dimension, God does everything in a trinity. Is that right? A three in one. In every dimension, the types will beautifully parallel each other in a three-dimensional parallel as it goes down through time. Now, you can break it down in a lot more parts, but you break it down in nine parts with ease. But you've got three major parts that's running along together. You know that I teach that there's three minds that run along together. And we've had a teaching on this, which I believe was enlightening to some of you. All right, now in the three-dimensional move of God, everything has a parallel. And what is confusing a lot of times when I'm teaching is I will teach something and it gets to be a little bit confusing to you. The reason that it gets to be a little bit confusing to you is because I will be teaching something and all of a sudden I'll say something that will be out of that dimension altogether. Now, it will be the same thing, but it will be separated from that dimension altogether. Now, when this happens, it throws you off trail and gets you mixed up. It isn't that God intends that, nor it isn't that I intend that. But it's just that we're dull of hearing and we don't hold on tight to what God is trying to do. Now, for instance, listen real close to this. You know in the natural that there is a great big body of water that's called the seas. Is that right? God made the heaven, the earth, and the seas. And that's the way that God created. You might break it down into dozens of different vocal expressions or understanding, whatever it might be. But it is a true fact that when God did it, the Bible said that He created the heavens, He created the earth, and He created the seas. Is that right? The reason for that is because there is a world of its own in the water. I can show you all three dimensions in the water, and perhaps you could show them to me. There is a world all by itself in the water realms. There is a world all by itself in the heavenly realms. There is a world all by itself in the physical realms, or the natural realms. Is that right? So then, that's why it makes it so hard for people to understand what the minister is saying if he's teaching Revelation. Even Peter said, Paul says things that's hard to be understood. Though he had the keys to the kingdom, Yet Paul, having the revelation of Jesus, it made it difficult for Peter to understand exactly what Paul was saying. Peter had great power, even so that he could raise the dead. He had walked with the Lord Jesus himself. He had actually walked side by side with Jesus. But he still had not entered into the realm that Paul had entered into. Can you imagine that? Here Jesus walking side by side as an individual. They perhaps ate together, slept together, were together for a number of years. But with all of the tutoring of Jesus and all of this walking side by side, he still had not entered into the dimensions or the dimensional depths of God that Paul did in receiving the revelation. Isn't that wonderful? To know that today that we've got a greater opportunity by Christ being in us than they had with Christ being with them. Emmanuel, God with them. But we've got God in us. Is that right? Not God with us, but we've got God in us. They had the Holy Ghost with them back in the Old Testament. How many of you believe that? They had the Holy Ghost. Somebody said the Holy Ghost wasn't given till Pentecost. You mean God just created the Holy Ghost when Pentecost come? That there never was a Holy Ghost until Pentecost? Well, you know better than that. The Holy Ghost was always here because it was God. The Bible said, speaking way back there when Peter quoted the words of David, and as he spoke back there, and they said, seeing the Lord ever at my right hand, speaking of the fall of Judas, said this, the Spirit, or he said the Holy Ghost speaking, thus signifying by the Spirit that such and such was to come. Always. Is that right? But today, we don't just have the Holy Ghost with us as they did. We have the Holy Ghost in us. Is that right? The Holy Ghost was given at Pentecost, which means that God gave him unto us as a gift. I wish we just had time to go into some of that tonight. But I can feel your minds are real scattered. I can just trail off on a thought and I lose about a third of you and everything gets just like this. Just like that. So I can tell your minds aren't together at all tonight. But anyway, the Holy Ghost had not yet been given at Pentecost. That is, it had not yet become a gift of eternal life. Is that right? Are you listening? Not yet become a gift of eternal life. I ought to just dwell on that subject just a few minutes. I won't be able to get into Revelation 13 like I want to tonight anyway because the minds are so scattered. And I ought to just dwell there because there's so much controversy on that. I think I will try to drop in a thought or two. Are you listening? A lot of people say they have a different opinion altogether of the Scriptures, of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And they say that people are not filled with the Holy Ghost today. There's people that understand the Scriptures in such a small way till they say that people today really don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now you say, Brother Pike, there wouldn't be any such people as that. I just got a report the other day on some that believes that very thing. I've run into it all down through the years. They actually don't believe that you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How many believe you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hand. I know some of you don't believe that you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't mean doctrine-wise, you just don't believe you've never received it. They say that you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But they're altogether wrong. The baptism of the Holy Ghost came at Pentecost. That was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was the gift of the Holy Ghost. God gave the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was here before Pentecost. Now, will you take just a minute with me to elaborate on it? Will you listen? Will you try to pay attention? What was the purpose of the tongues? I brought some of this out one time on a tape. What was the purpose of the tongues? The tongues of Pentecost came for one purpose, and that was to let you know that God was the God of every nation. Every nationality, that he speaks your language. The tongues came to let you know that he wasn't just with the Jews. For in the Old Testament it was said salvation is of the Jew. Even Jesus said that.
But when the Holy Ghost came in the tongues of every kindred, from out from under every nation under heaven, it proved that He was the God of everyone. That He spoke everybody's language. Is that right? You say, but all of them was Jews. That was to signify that God did not speak the language of anybody but Christians. Natural Jew representing spiritual Jew. Every one of them was Jews, but they were out from under every nation under heaven. Is that right? Out of every nation under heaven. To show that God not only spoke the Jewish language, but as He told Peter when He opened the doors to the Gentile, seeing that God is no respecter of person, that in every nation that they that fear God are accepted of God. Why was this? The only reason that that could be done was because the Lamb of God had just been sacrificed for sin. Is that right? If the Lamb of God had not just been sacrificed for sin, there could not have been any person or nation coming to God except the Jew. Is that right? Why didn't Peter open the doors to the Gentile before the crucifixion? Are you listening? Why didn't he do it? He couldn't do it. There was no way he could do it. Because the door had never been opened to the Gentiles. But when Jesus died at Calvary, from that time on, salvation was given to every person. So then as Peter saw the sheet come down before him, the Lord said, Peter, rise, slay and eat. He said, not so, Lord. Nothing common have I ever taken into my mouth. He said, Peter, what I cleanse, call thou not common. Now, the Bible said the sheet was full of all kind of unclean things. Is that right? Now, this is where people get mixed up on this eating of meats and so forth. Say you're not supposed to eat this and you're not supposed to eat that. That shows how foolish they are. I don't mean that against the individual, but that's foolishness. When they say you can't eat this and you can't eat that, when the Bible said meats were made to be received with thanksgiving of them that know the truth. For all things are sanctified by prayer. Is that right? So then they get off into a foolishness with that. Just like that woman that got Brother Taylor off and was going to take him back into the garden by eating lettuce or something. Apples, oranges. There's no way to get back in the garden except by faith. The Bible said you're no better to God if you eat or don't eat. If you don't eat meat, that don't make you a bit better to God. If you do eat meat, it don't make you a bit worse to God. God doesn't judge you according to the meat. Paul said meat is for the belly, not for God. Therefore, it makes little difference with God what you eat, as long as it's sanctified by prayer. Somebody said, well, the way you talk, Brother Pike, I just go out here and get me a snake. Well, they do it every day over in Africa. They just sanctify it by prayer and go right on and eat it. Good meal. A lot of folks eat rattlesnake. What you don't like, they eat over there. Say, well, you talk like I just go out and get a dog with the ears. Well, that's a first class of meat over there. That's right. They get around and they throw stones and they beat him up like beefsteak. And they eat him. Somebody say, you didn't eat a dog? Well, when they think of you over here, somebody said, you mean you eat a cow? They think cows are their ancestors. You mean folks eat cows? See, so it doesn't make any difference, does it? Same way with languages. There's no difference with languages. Somebody speaking Chinese, somebody speaking one. God isn't interested in our language. Why, a Chinaman could curse me out and I wouldn't know a thing. He said, when he got through, I'd feel just as good at him as if he never said nothing, because I didn't know nothing about what he said. See, in other words, it's the spirit. It's not what you do. Somebody said, you dip snuff, you'll go to hell, Brother Pike. Well, dipping snuff ain't got nothing to do with it. Smoking cigarettes ain't got nothing to do with it. Somebody said, you take up time with a woman, you go to hell. That ain't got nothing to do with it. God does not judge you for dipping snuff or smoking cigarettes. God does not judge you for human relation. God does not judge you for drinking liquor. In the Old Testament, he told them, drink a liquor, so if you want liquor, get it, drink it. God told them, make a drink liquor. When they got the first fruits, make your liquors and drink it. That doesn't have anything to do with it. There was no Bible against liquor to start with, nor against wine, nor against human relation. God instigated human relation. If He judges you as a sinner because of human relation, then His kingdom's divided. Is that right? If He judges you for meat when He made meat to eat, then His kingdom is divided. God doesn't judge you for those things at all. God judges you for unbelief. And you say, where do you get that? All right, let's just look at it and see if that's right. First of all, human relation is an instigation of God. God judges you not for that. If He does judge you for that reason, then why does the Bible say that if you look on a woman to lust after her? So you see, the judgment isn't that for that at all, is it? Is that right? He said if you just lust after her. Is that right? So that means that God is going to judge you not for that, but He's going to judge you for the spirit that you let defile His temple. If that spirit gets in you that lusteth after a woman, if you never put your hands on her, you'll die and go to hell because you defile the temple of God. It's the same way with wine. The Bible doesn't speak against wine. As a matter of fact, the scriptures are to the contrary. It said, drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake and for thy often infirmities. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, aren't you afraid to preach that? God commanded me to preach the Word. That's what the Word said. I'd be afraid to preach it if it wasn't in the Word. Paul said, there's nothing better for your stomach to move the bile and to heal than a little wine for the stomach's sake. There's nothing better for your sicknesses. A lot of people strain at a gnat and swallow a camel because they don't believe in medicines. The Bible said the Good Samaritan poured in the oil and the wine. Wine is a healer for the inside of the stomach. The world wouldn't have a tummy full of ulcers. They'd do away with the coffee and take the wine like God commanded them to do. It isn't against that. But the Bible said, wine being a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived thereby. That is to tarry at the wine when it's strong, when it's red, when it moves itself in the cup and it strikes like an adder. So then the charge is not against the wine. It's against the spirit that's in the temple that desires strong drink. Is that right? God couldn't be against the wine because Jesus drank it Himself. If there had been anything wrong with it, He never drank it Himself. Is that right? He even says, let your women not be given to much wine. Why didn't He say, just let them not be given to any wine? He even called Jesus a wine bibber. So then we strain at a gnat and we swallow a camel. God is not against liquors. Somebody say, well, I believe if you drink liquor, you'll go to hell. Well, I'll go to hell because I used to drink pot liquor. You ever drink pot liquor? Have you ever drank pot liquor? See, you're on your way to hell if that's true because you drank liquor. So you strain at an ant and swallow a camel. Is that right? Somebody said, you're not being funny. I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to show you how foolish you are with your ideas instead of the Word of God. I'm not trying to be funny. I said, if drinking liquor will send you to hell, then you're on your way to hell because you confessed you drank pot liquor. So then God told them they could drink their liquors. Now, but God commanded them to stay away from strong drink. You know why? Because strong drink gets control of your body. It has to do with a spirit. It lets another spirit, another mind get a hold of you and causes you to do things that you haven't got any business doing. Is that right? So then, tongues, that is languages, the eating of meats, all of these things, we get mixed up on those things. God came to let them know that He spoke their language. And the Bible said that we do hear them speak in our own native tongue wherein we were born. Is that right? Somebody said, he's speaking in Japanese. Somebody said, well, no, he's a Chinaman. Speaking in Chinese. No, somebody said, it's not at all. He's speaking in German. Now, I know it said Medes, Parthians, Elamites, dwellers at Mesopotamia. I know who was there. I'm just giving you an illustration. Somebody said, well, he's speaking in Korean. No, he's not speaking that at all. Somebody said, well, they're Galileans. Them's Galileans. So then, one man was speaking in a Galilean tongue. Somebody said, well, he was speaking in tongues. The Bible don't say he's speaking in tongues. That's a misinterpretation of Scripture. In the upper room, they were speaking in tongues. But down there, Peter wasn't speaking in tongues. Peter was preaching the gospel in the Galilean language. And the Holy Ghost was interpreting to every person that was listening to Peter's sermon. And every one of them heard Peter, or the Spirit, wasn't Peter, speak in their own language wherein they were born. Is that Bible? Why? There wasn't any confusion. God is not at all going along with Pentecostal people like they think he is. Somebody said Peter was down there just speaking in tongues, and everybody was shouting, jumping up and down, everybody speaking in tongues, and those people heard him over there in their own language. No, it wasn't. That would have been a bunch of confusion. God didn't do that at all. Somebody said, well, they accused him of being drunk. They must have just been falling everywhere. You can't find one place in the Scripture where it said they fell anywhere. You can't find one place where it said they run, jumped, or done any of that. That's not Bible. That's a Pentecostal theory. You can't find one place where they all come together and were speaking in tongues like that. Paul forbid it. It couldn't have been the Holy Ghost, because the kingdom of God would be divided. He couldn't do it over here, and then a few days later over here, tell Paul that it was confusing. God's not the author of confusion. His kingdom's not divided. Is that right? Brother, if you'll just pray and have faith, God will give you a congregation someday. If you don't watch out, you're going to wind up in hell for hindering God. You're determined to do it with your old carnal mind in spite of all I do. But you'll get it after a while. So then, they came together, and the Bible said in the upper room that the Holy Ghost came upon each of them. Is that right? Come on now, are you listening? Do you want to know the truth about it? Or are you so vainly puffed up you'd rather I wouldn't tell you so that I won't be the one that told you? That way you don't have to believe it. Somebody said, well, I wish if I could just be the one that told it, Brother Pike. Well, you can. If God told you, well, you can tell it. It's all right. I'll sit down and listen to you. But if he didn't tell you, it might be good if you listen to me. So then when the Holy Ghost came down in the upper room, it wasn't a bunch of people hollering and going on like the Pentecostal people teach. Somebody say, don't you believe in tongues, Brother Pike? I certainly do. When the Holy Ghost came in, I spoke in tongues. I still speak in tongues. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than any of you. Some of you's down here at the meeting, Cordell. Did I speak in tongues there? In the upper room, it wasn't just a conglomeration of tongues. That wasn't what it was. Paul said, if we all come together and we all be speaking in tongues, will they not say that we're crazy? But he said, if they speak in tongues, let it be by two or three at the most, and let that be by course, one at a time. Somebody said, where do you get that? The Bible said the Holy Ghost came, tongues of fire set upon each of them. Is that right? There was no confusion at all in what God did, not one thing. It was clearly understood. It was by course, just like the Bible said. So then, it's a Pentecostal theory that's full of confusion. And the devil took advantage of a bunch of spiritual children, caused them to completely wreck the plan of God to keep the truth from coming to them. Is that right? Now, I'm not saying that is a know-all. I'm saying that is revelation from God in what the Word said. To let every man be a liar and let the Word be true. Line upon line and precept upon precept. So then God, after the death of Jesus, was able to go to every tongue and every kindred throughout the world. And he gathered them together at what he referred to as a Pentecostal feast. And that Pentecostal feast had to do with the year of Jubilee, where all of the debts were forgiven in the Old Testament. Is that right? So then in forgiving their debts, it was the ideal thing that he had chosen to symbolize the day of Jesus and the offering up of Calvary after that The high priest had gone in. Go back and check it in the Old Testament feast and see if it's that way. After that, the high priest had gone in to sit at the right hand of the Father to offer the atonement. Then, coming back in spiritual form and measures on the day of Pentecost, the Lord gave the Holy Ghost to everybody. No. Does God give the Holy Ghost to everybody? Now, the Bible said God pours out His Spirit upon all flesh. That is, as far as the Word, as far as grace and all of this. Is that right? God pours out His Spirit. But the Bible said that God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him. That's why a lot of you people here don't have the Holy Ghost. I know there's dozens of you that would have me to believe that you got the Holy Ghost. But my brothers and sisters, your spirit and your actions and your minds and your contrariness shows me that you don't have the Holy Ghost. You don't have the Holy Ghost. That's why a lot of people don't believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost come. They say, well, the way people act, I don't see the Holy Ghost in them. I don't either. Some of them. But you don't. Somebody said, well, all you got to do is believe to get the Holy Ghost. The Bible said to them that obey God. Is that right? Somebody said, well, ain't that believing? It certainly is. True faith made manifest by your deeds. Is that right? Obedience to the Word. If you believe the Word, the faith by the hearing of the Word, you do what the Word says. That's faith in the Word. That's proof in it. Is that right? Be baptized in Jesus' name, for one thing. Repent of your sins. Walk in the light as He's in the light. Have fellowship one with another. So many multiplied things. You say, well, I prophesy. That don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. Saul prophesied. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. Balaam prophesied. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. So I speak in tongues. That don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. That's right. That's no proof of the Holy Ghost. Now, you say you don't believe that's the Holy Ghost. I didn't say that wasn't the Holy Ghost. I said that don't mean that you got the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is poured out. Jesus, having been crucified, having been nailed to Calvary, at last there was now available the day of grace. And all humanity could come into the holies of holies in the very presence of the living God. Is that right? Come right into the presence of the very Spirit itself. I could prove that by revelation. If we had time to go into revelation, I could prove that. But they could come into the very presence of God because a lamb had been offered up. People that had never known anything about God could hear Him speak their language at last. They could be healed. God had now made it possible that by grace, without any works, they could have their healing. They could be healed of cancer and live like the devil. Somebody said, do you believe that? Yes, sir. The rain on the just and the unjust. Many a person has been healed of cancer and live like the devil. God made grace available that every individual could come to the knowledge of the truth, be partakers of the Holy Ghost as far as the grace and Spirit being poured out upon them. Hebrews 6. Be partakers of it, and then not be born to the Spirit and fall away and be eternally damned. Is that right? Read it in Hebrews and see if that's right. So then, God did that to show them His mercy, to acquaint them with God, so that they'd have a chance to love God and come to God and see what He was and serve Him. And then, my brother, if they reject God in the days of grace, they're the low-downest, meanest, contrary people there is. That's right. People who reject God in the days of grace, they're the meanest, low-downest, contrary people on the face of the earth. There ain't nobody as mean as they are. A barbarian that would take a baby and pull its tongue out by the roots is not as mean and low-down as anybody that would reject God in the days of grace in the knowledge of the Lord. And you say, what do you mean? Isn't the barbarian in the days of grace too? Not in the knowledge of the Lord. You follow me? He doesn't know any better. The wrath of God, how much sore a punishment will God impose upon them that trample the blood of Jesus under their feet and count it an unholy thing, he'll be so terribly tore up over it that he'll just turn the world into a rubbish pile. That's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. In ignorance, he can bear it. But with knowledge, he can't stand it. So then, the Lord brought us a Pentecost. Now, are people actually filled with the Holy Ghost? They certainly are. Are they actually baptized with the Holy Ghost? They certainly are. A person can be filled with the Holy Ghost and not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You might say, you crazy. No, I'm not. No, I'm not beside myself. You say, how do you get that? Because the Bible said that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Is that right? It said that Zacharias, his father, was filled with the Holy Ghost and stood up and prophesied, and neither one of them had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, how do you get that? Because the Bible said the Holy Ghost had not yet been given. Neither one of them had the gift of the Holy Ghost. It had not yet been given. They couldn't have had it. They were filled with the Holy Ghost just like the prophets. When the prophets prophesied, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake by the unction of the Spirit, because the Spirit was with them. But no man had a gift of the Spirit until Pentecost, when Christ Jesus came back in measure. And when he came back in measure, God gave by measure the Spirit unto every individual that believed. That was the gift of eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. There is no eternal life without the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, I got eternal life because I believe, Brother Pike. I know you did. If you truly believe, for after that you believe, the Bible said you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. But my brother, you can be sure that if you didn't receive the seal, you don't have eternal life. You say, but I believe. The devil believes too. But he didn't get the Holy Ghost. There is no eternal life except the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? It's the Spirit of Christ. It's eternal life. It's the nature of the Lord. You are partakers of the divine nature. What is the nature? It's a spirit. Somebody said, well, that's one of the spirits. No, Trinity is wrong about that. There ain't no one of the spirits to it. There ain't but one spirit. Somebody said, well, the Bible teaches three spirits. Well, the Bible teaches seven spirits. What about the seven spirits of God that stand before the throne? So if we're going to teach three gods, we might as well teach seven gods. You know better than that. The Bible said one spirit, many operations. Is that right? When you get the Holy Ghost, you got eternal life. You'd love to prove me wrong, wouldn't you? But you ain't going to find it in the book. It ain't in there. Go ahead and look. I'm not foolish. I wouldn't be telling you something I didn't know. You just love to prove me wrong. So then, the Holy Ghost has always been here, my brother. Always. Is that right? It's always been here. It's always been with us. People were filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that right? But there is a difference in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, if John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, don't you believe he was baptized? Sure, he was baptized as far as the Spirit overwhelming him, filling him. But he wasn't baptized in the sense that he was baptized into the death of Jesus Christ by the water in Jesus' name and baptized by the Holy Ghost into the membership of the body. But what is baptism for? Well, the natural church will tell you you're baptized into the church. Is that right? The baptism of the Holy Ghost is to baptize you into the church, a membership of the body. Is that right? You receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to become a member of the body. That's what it's for. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is to baptize your spirit into the membership of the many-membered body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? So then there is a difference. There's also a difference in being filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? Somebody said, well, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, you don't act like it. I can assure you that you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, but I know I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. No. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what happens? Blinded eyes come open. Deaf ears unstop. Everything. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. Yes, I do believe that, because that's what the Bible says. And the Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Is a mighty rushing wind had come, it filled the house, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But because a person gets filled with the Holy Ghost, that don't mean they stay filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Come on now. There's a difference between the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the gift of God in being filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible said Stephen was full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? At different times they tarried until God filled them with the Spirit. Is that right? God commands you and I to be full of the Holy Ghost, to be filled with the Spirit. Is that right? To be filled with it. You can be a Christian, you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, be baptized in the body. You can have faith. You can have the gift of eternal life and still not be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now you got the gift of the Holy Ghost. But the trouble with the church today is the fact that they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. That's where the trouble is to begin with. If they were full of the Spirit, why, I'll tell you what, it would shake the hinges of this building. That's right. The Bible said they prayed and they fasted till they got full of the Holy Ghost and the building shook. When God's people get full of the Holy Ghost, and like Stephen's, they get filled with the Spirit. And they learn, you know what filling up with the Spirit is? The Bible said Jesus went away into the wilderness. The Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, here's a good thought. Somebody say, well, he didn't have the Holy Ghost. You don't believe that, do you? I said, when the Spirit driveth Jesus in the wilderness, you don't believe he had the Holy Ghost? Have you believed that Jesus did not have the Holy Ghost when he went into the wilderness? See, you're not going to be that foolish, are you? You know he had the Holy Ghost. You know he was the Holy Ghost personified. But there was a difference. Even Jesus, though he were a son, to be our example, he had to go through these things. To learn obedience by the things that he suffered, therefore being made perfect, being our example, he become the author and the finisher of our faith. The Spirit as a man now, the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Is that right? And the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. Is that right? There is a difference. He had the Spirit. Somebody say, well, don't you believe he had the power of it? Why does the Bible say he returned the power of it? Somebody say, Brother Pike, you don't believe. You mean tell me before Jesus went in that wilderness, he didn't have power to heal the sick? To be our example, Jesus had to wear a diaper just like any other baby. Come on now. Wake up. Somebody said, well, he was divine. I know he was divine. But he was a little boy just like that little boy that you got bouncing on your knee. His mother had to take care of him just exactly like you do. See, that's the trouble now. People want to make Jesus divine and take away the man part of him, because that's as good as the devil wants. If the devil can make him divine in everything and take away the man part of it, then that makes salvation so high above our heads we'll never reach it. But when we confess that he was a man just like I'm a man, just like you're a man, was a little boy just like you're a little boy, he had to wash his face, comb his hair, wash his feet. How many understand what I'm saying? He was Jesus, precious little Jesus. He become like unto his brethren in all things, that he might be our example. So then, when he went into the wilderness, and I'm going to close here in just a few minutes. I know it's getting a little uncomfortable. When he went into the wilderness, if he had listened to the devil, when the devil said, cast yourself down from here, he would have busted his brains out, his natural brains, would have been scattered on the rocks and he would have been dead, and the plan of salvation would have gone down the drain. Somebody said, you don't think Jesus could have died, do you? Did he die on Calvary? He must have could. Somebody said, you don't believe he'd fell on them rocks and busted his head open when they stuck the thorns in? Did it go into his head? You don't think he could have fell down there and cut his side up? It did when they stuck the spear in him. The devil tried his best to get him to do everything to overthrow the plan of salvation. Is that right? You understand what I'm saying? Jesus was a man. He had to go through all these things. He had to be wise and overcome by faith, because the devil could hurt him just like it hurt you. He could have had cancer just like you take cancer. All of these things, tempted in every way. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. To show you that by faith you can overcome the devil as an individual. You can do it. If you'll have faith, you can do it. You're not inferior to the devil. My brother, you can rise up as a Jesus man or a God man and walk out here and shake the foundations of hell. You say, why? Jesus said, these things I do, you can do also. Is that right? You say, but he was the Son of God. The Bible said Adam was the Son of God. The Bible said you're sons of God. Is that right? Somebody said Adam was a son of God. The Bible didn't say he was a son of God. It said he was the Son of God. Now, are you following me, brethren? All right? There is a difference, because he returned in the power of the Spirit. He returned in the power of the Spirit. You know what's wrong with the church? They need to go away with God and come back and return in the power of the Spirit. Somebody said they don't have the baptism. That's wrong. You're mixed up. They do have the baptism. You know why they say that they don't have the baptism? They get them a little theory. They won't listen to nobody. They won't try to learn. They won't be tutored. They had something up in their minds. And his brother Red said they become renegades. They won't listen. They get it in their mind. They'll say, well, the Bible says here, Brother Pike, that ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. If they got the Holy Ghost, where's the power? That's what I'm trying to tell you. When Jesus went into the wilderness, he had the Holy Ghost, he had power. I don't deny that he had power. I don't deny that the church has got power. But the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. It's one thing to have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, which is the power. You got gasoline in the tank of a car, you got power. But my brother, the Bible said he'd baptize you with the fire and with the Holy Ghost. You got to get some fire and burn the chaff out of your life and then get them to mix together. And then you got some steam to go ahead. You got some get up and go then. Some of you need some chaff burned out of your life. The church is full of chaff. They don't want to go by the fire. How do we know that Jesus went down into the flames of hell? Had to, because we're supposed to pass through the flame. Is that right? So then, he returned in the virtue of the Spirit. Are you listening? You say, now where do you get that? What do you? You say power, then you say virtue. Because the Bible said when he prayed for that little woman, virtue went out of his body, because she said, I'm healed. She felt in her body that she was whole. Jesus said, somebody touch me. They said, how do you know? He said, because I felt something go out of me. What was it? Somebody said, the Holy Ghost went out of me. It didn't say that. He didn't say the Holy Ghost went out of me. I don't believe the Holy Ghost left Jesus. Do you? When I pray for the sick, the Holy Ghost don't leave me. Somebody said, well, the Holy Ghost comes out of me and or in you into me, Brother Pye. Well, what's the need of the Holy Ghost coming out of me into you when you already got the Holy Ghost and I already got him too? That wouldn't be right, would it? What it is, it's just like charging that battery, getting that virtue out of the water cell, so to speak. Getting a charge on the battery. See, this outer man's where the trouble is. The middle wall of partition. The fire's got to burn the chaff out, purify the channel, clean it out. And then, when the woman becomes what the Bible calls a virtuous woman, remember the flesh, the woman. When she becomes a virtuous woman, her price is far beyond that of rubies, because she is the crown to her husband's head. Is that right? Sure she is, because she glorifies him. The crown glorifies. That's the glory of it, is the crown. And she becomes the crown of his head. What is the crown? The 12 stars, the teaching of the 12 apostles. He becomes that manifest in the flesh, the written epistle that manifests the power of God, the crown of his head. Is that right? The trouble is, The church is not virtuous to God. They mess with television. Every little thing that come along, they've got doctrinal ideas. They got divisions. Always wanting to do something instead of conforming to the Word and returning in the power of the Spirit. That's why fasting is important. That's why fasting is important. If you know how to fast, it's important. Now, you can fast and not get any virtue. You can just be a puffed up thing like an old frog. That's why the Lord denied their fasting. But if you fast right and you got the right spirit and you understand what you're doing, you can get filled with the virtue of God. And if you pray for people, people will get healed. That's why the Bible says Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. That's speaking virtue-wise, measure. According to measure. Filled with it. Get your outside full of the Holy Ghost. Surrender the outside. Some of you, I can't even get near you for your spiritual resentment. Old contrary attitudes, your old surmising. You are so indoctrinated with your own thinking, your own ideas, and your own plans, that instead of God being able to get to you, you repel God. Somebody said, well, I don't repel God. I just can't get along with you. The Bible said, inasmuch as you did it to Brother Pike, you did it to God. Inasmuch as you can't love him that you've seen, you don't love him whom you've not seen. The Bible said to have fellowship one with another. Is that right? If you walk in the light, the knowledge, the mind of Jesus, you will have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. I go back to that thing where somebody come to me and said, that don't mean fellowship one with another like brothers. So that means fellowship with God. You know that's wrong. You know that's not Bible. Where'd you get in such a warped up idea? Sure, we have fellowship with God. But he said one with another. Is that right? You have fellowship one with another. Where do you get that? Because if you love not him whom you have seen, how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Is that right? If you walk in the light as he is in the light, then you'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all your sins. You know, the devil's cunning. He loves to hatch up anything he can to keep God's plan from going forth. But I'm glad God's got a voice in the land. And you know what? He'll always have one. And the devil can struggle, strive, turn cartwheels, or do whatever he wants to. But that voice will show them up every time that they get near. Every time. You know why? Somebody said, that's because they think they're smart. No, because the Bible said they could not withstand the wisdom by which Stephen spake. God especially does the talking. And when God does the talking, all the reasoning and the darkness, which is the carnal mind, is going to be shown up. And the Bible said they love their carnal thinking, which is darkness rather than light, and they will not come to the light, lest they be reproved for the evil deeds. Is that right? So then, that's why people cause division among the brethren. That's why they don't come to the pastor. That's why they pray off the sheep. It's because they love darkness rather than light, their own thinking. And their deeds are unlike God, which is evil. And therefore they come not to the light, because they know their deeds will be reproved, made manifest. And then that which is made manifest is light. That is, everybody knows it. It's not secret. Is that right? So in the doings, everybody knows whether they're in the light or not. Is that right? Let's everybody stand together. I would like to have said more tonight, because it really isn't cold. I know it's not cold. You say, well, my baby is so cold. You mothers can act so pitiful. You drag them around out in the rain and the slop and the snow and everything else, and half uncovered and their shoes off, and go home and they're running in and out and the door standing open. They don't have on nothing, but they get in the house of God and be wrapped up from head to toe. And you say, my baby's going to get cold. Now, that ain't what it is. What it is, that devil won't let you rest is what it is. And he's trying to get out of there. Strain at an ant and swallow a camel. You love the Lord? I might say, Brother Pike, I wish you'd say smooth things. Well, Paul said we're rude in speech, but not in knowledge. I don't know how to prophesy smooth things. I never did learn how. So I'm a rude prophesier. You have to go somewhere where you can get a polished scholar. He knows how. He's practiced for years. He can slip your pocketbook out of your pocket and you never miss it.
I love you tonight. I want to help you do everything I can. But my brother, what we need in the church tonight is virtuous women. The non-virtuous women of our day, the whorish women, the ungodly women, those that try to dominate the husband, those that won't listen, those that won't conform to the mind of their own husband in a oneness, is a positive proof and something to show just how far you are from conforming to the mind of Christ or to leadership. Her price is far beyond that of rubies. Who can find one, just one, that will listen? Just one. Just one. I'm going to say this in closing. People say, I don't need no man to teach me. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will teach me. I've heard that so many times when they tried to get around the truth. The Holy Ghost will teach me. Guide men to all truths. I remind you again, God set a fivefold ministry and said, take the oversight over the flock of God over which I, the Holy Ghost, have made you overseers. He said, I have given you the oversight. I've made you an overseer. Nobody didn't pass on that in the church of God. He said, I did it. I gave you the oversight. He said, you take it. I gave it to you. If anybody rises up against you, they're rising up against me. If they receive the one I send, they receive me. If they reject you, they reject me. Is that right? Seeing that they are the ministers of God, set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil, will you not be afraid for conscience' sake? Bind to remit. You understand what I'm saying? A virtuous woman, prized beyond that of rubies. A crown to her husband's head. Why? Because his head controls her body. Whatever his head thinks, that's what her body does. So wonderful. Wouldn't it be wonderful that if a woman could say, if you've seen me, you've seen my husband? Jesus said that concerned the Father. Somebody said, yeah, but Brother Pike, that's because he looked just like him. That's where you're wrong. I said, that's where you're wrong. That wasn't what he's talking about at all. You say, how can you prove it? Because Jesus said when they looked on him, he said, you don't know my Father. He said, you've never seen his shape at any time. And they was looking at the shape standing before him. If that had been the shape, what was it? He had to bear the image of the earth. If you think these pictures look like Jesus, you just wait till Jesus comes back. No, he was so much like his Father. He says, not me that doeth the work, is my Father within me. A woman should be so much like her husband. Did somebody say, boy, if you've seen her, you done seen the old man. Because she's just like him. That's right. She thinks like him. She acts like him. That's the way I'd like to be, wouldn't you? I want to be just exactly like my husband. He pleaseth me well. Amen. I don't want to be a whorish woman. I don't want to go after doctrinal ideas. I don't want to think my own thoughts and lean to my own understanding. I don't want to reason. The Holy Ghost will teach you in all things. He said, whatsoever I have taught you, he will bring to your remembrance. Is that right? Whatsoever I have taught you. Somebody said, well, I got faith. How? The Bible said faith cometh by hearing. Somebody said, well, I heard the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, hearing by the Word. In the beginning was the Word. How's the Word? It said it's spoken, it's preached. Is that right? Show me one person that ever got saved at any time, anywhere. Just one person before God ever spoke to him. I'm talking about by voice. I said, well, God just spoke to him, they got saved. No, no, there ain't no such. Well, I can prove it. Where? Enoch? No, you can't prove it. Enoch heard preaching just like everybody else. He got it. You say, where did he get it from? He got it from Adam. The voice came to Adam. Adam gave it to his sons. The sons gave it on down. Somebody said, Abraham. The Bible said the scriptures appeared to Abraham. Is that right? There was a voice. Somebody said, where do you get that? Because the Bible says that three came and talked with Abraham. Is that right? Somebody said them was angels. That's not what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches. If them was just plain angels, nothing but just common angels as you look at it, then why did Jesus say Abraham saw my day? rejoiced to see it and was glad. Why did Abraham turn to what you call an angel and said, "My Lord, shall not the Lord of all the earth do right?" That was more than an angel. That was the word that came to him. Is that right? There has to be a preacher, my brother. How can they preach lest they be sent? How can you hear without a preacher? How can you have faith without the hearing? It so pleased God that men should be saved by the Holy Ghost speaking to them. Is that what the Bible said? It said by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God that men should be saved. Is that Bible? See, that knocked your idea for a loop, brother. You sure are looking for something wrong tonight, ain't you? You thought you had me that time, didn't you? I know you're out there. Boy, you thought you really had me that time. I saw the direction you went in. But that knocked you for a loop, didn't it? You hadn't thought about that. There's a whole lot of things you hadn't thought about. One thing is you hadn't thought about getting your life straight with God like you need to. That's the main thing. Don't you know you're foolish to try to outwit God? Don't you know that when I'm up here speaking the Bible, it's not Brother Pike speaking, but God? And don't you know you stand out there as a foolish man to try to outwit God and in your natural reprobate mind to try to figure out how to trap me in my words like they did Jesus to find something wrong? Pharisees, scribes, and hypocrites. Jesus Christ the same yesterday. Don't you know God will tear you up for that? That proves you ain't right with God. You don't even think right. He said, enter into his courts with thanksgiving and his gates with praise. He said, bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Christ. Is that right? I love you. I want to help you. But I'm giving you warnings. The Spirit's giving you warnings. Not me, but God. He's telling you, they shall all be taught of God. Not you that speak, but God. Let's sing a little chorus together. We'll bring to your remembrance whatsoever things that I've taught you. If God's never taught you anything by the ministry, you can be sure there'll never be nothing come to your remembrance. God's got overseers. He ordained them. He's got leaders. Wouldn't he be some kind of God to put overseers in the church? And then the Holy Ghost say, now, Brother Jimmy, I've ordained you an overseer. You take the oversight over the church. Then the next day, the Holy Ghost comes back to everybody that he's supposed to take the oversight over and says, don't you pay any attention to him. I'm the Holy Ghost. I'll teach you. You don't need to hear what he said. Would that be some kind of kingdom? So here, Brother Jimmy, he's got the oversight and he's going to teach you. And there you are. You've got the Holy Ghost and you say the Holy Ghost said it. No, sir. God is not, he's not confusing. When God said, Jimmy, take the oversight, he meant, Jimmy, if there's anything to be told the flock, I'll tell you, son. Somebody said, but maybe Jimmy don't know. The Holy Ghost don't make mistakes. If Jimmy not been ready for an overseer, he never made him one. Since when does the Holy Ghost go around and ordain men that don't know what they're doing? You ever seen a man out here in the world that's got a big project and going to build a skyscraper, hire somebody just because he says he's an engineer? No, sir, you got to have some credentials. He's going to find out if you know. You understand what I'm saying? God knows. He knows. He don't make mistakes, my brother. You say, well, I've seen a lot of people said they was overseers, and they didn't know. I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about them that the Holy Ghost ordained. I've seen a lot of people said it's preachers, wasn't preachers too. Seen a lot of people said it's Christians, wasn't Christians. I'm not even talking about them. I said them that the Holy Ghost ordained. You say, well, how can I know the difference? By being a sheep of God. The Bible said, my sheep know my voice. If you don't know the difference, you just need to be born again. You love the Lord, said not be them that speak but the Lord. Just ain't no way for the hypocrite to get out, is there? Let's sing this little chorus together. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, I need thee now, my Savior. Oh, how I need thee. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you hurt my feelings. I know you was talking about me. Now I wonder how you knew that I was talking about you. Just tell me, how did you know that I was talking about you? You want me to tell you how you knew? I never did call your name, did I? You know how you knew? Because you knew you was guilty. That's how you knew. Yes, you're the one I was talking about, because you're the guilty party. That's why you know, is because you were guilty. Oh, how I need Thee. I love Thee, oh, I love Thee. Every hour I love Thee, I love Thee now, sweet Savior. Oh, how I love Thee. Sing it with me again. I want Thee, oh, I want Thee. Every hour I want Thee. I want Thee now, sweet Savior. Oh, how I want Thee. Bible said, let everything be done to edifying. For if they all prophesy, then the thoughts of their hearts will be made known, and they will fall down on their face and report that God is in you of a truth. Sing it again. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee, I need Thee now, my Savior. Oh, how I need Thee. Oh, don't turn Him away. Turn Him away. He has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let Him in to stay. Oh, how you need Him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Come to the Savior and hear His sweet voice. Don't turn Him away. Can you sing it again? Oh, don't turn Him away. Turn Him away. He has come back to your heart once again. So let Him in to stay.
plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, come to the Savior and hear His sweet voice, and don't turn Him away. You love the Lord? God loves you tonight. Sister Cindy has been sick, and she needs prayer tonight. These others here at the altar, it's kneeling down here, need something from the Lord. And I appreciate the honest heart. People who love God that are true, when they hear the truth and they know the truth, they will acknowledge the truth. That's why that they are God's elect. But you can be sure that they that have heard the truth tonight, and my brother, there is some that did not acknowledge the truth, and it told the thoughts of your heart. You know why you didn't fall down on your face? Because you are a renegade. Because you're not right with God. And because you have not a love for the truth. And God will turn you over to your own thinking and ideas because you did not acknowledge the truth. Because there's some here tonight that should have been on their face before God. They know that it's the truth. They know that I spoke to their heart. And they know God tonight told them the thoughts of their heart. And they know that the thoughts of their heart was evil and not right toward me and toward God's kingdom. And it was revealed to them tonight in their hearts, and I know who they are. But they didn't fall down on their face. But they should have. They should have. But Cain and Abel both was there. Isn't that right? I said Cain and Abel both was there. Cain and Abel both was there. Coming to church, my brother, won't make it right. When it's too late to make it right, 10,000 worlds won't make it right. If you're right tonight, be glad. But if you're wrong, then what will you give in exchange for your soul at the judgment? What will you give? There is nothing that He'll take in exchange. The most precious possession you've got tonight is your soul. Your prestige, your reputation, your money, whatever you might have, your ability is of little value. But your soul, my brother, is of great value. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Can you step up here, Cindy? I don't mind the ladies in here coming up on the platform. That's why I built a platform. Most churches, they have to put up a rail. That's right, for the singing. They have to put up a rail. That's why they got rails and tents. Of course, they're not as careful now, but if they don't, they advertise women's legs when they come up. That's right, they're so indecent. It's more like a show. But our ladies are careful to be ladies, even our little girls. So I don't mind them coming up on the platform. Women that come to visit us that don't have on long dresses, I don't want them on my platform. That's right. If I can get to them with the mic, I'll try to get out there and pray for them. I don't want them up on the platform singing either. You say, well, they got the Holy Ghost. That's all right. That's good. If they got the Holy Ghost, that's fine. Now, what they need to do is go home and put them on some clothes if they got the Holy Ghost and come back and give us a proof of it. There's a serious thing that's wrong with Cindy. Devil's been working to try to create something seriously wrong for a long time. I pleaded with Cindy not to give place to the devil. But when folks are young, they don't think things is as serious as Daddy says. The devil's working, and one of those freak things has taken place. As far as I know, she's a healthy girl all the way through. God's kept her healthy by prayer down through the years. But one of those freak things has happened, and she's got a pinched tooth. Some of them have said they don't understand it, never heard of it before. But a pinched tube is going to the kidneys. Can't figure out how it happened. Nothing wrong, it just got pinched. But I'll tell you what, it's a lot better to seek God while He might be found, call upon Him while He's near, Ask Him to help you while He can help you. Let everything be made manifest while as now can, because later you'll sure feel bad when it's made manifest. And it will come. It will come. I know some right here that unless something takes place in their life different, it's coming to them. I know that. Something's going to have to take place different in your life, my brother and sister, or it's coming to you. Deathbeds are coming. Heartaches is coming. Woes are coming. Sorrows are coming. The Bible said God doesn't smite or afflict willingly. It doesn't say that God doesn't afflict, because God does afflict. We esteem Jesus smitten of God. He was afflicted for us. God does afflict, but the Bible said God doesn't afflict willingly. It's not His will that any should perish. But when He's forced to that position, there's nothing else He can do. He's the great judge. He's the only one that can give the sentence. You say, but the devil does that, Brother Pike. You taught us that the devil does that. I know he does. But in the day of Job, who gave the sentence when he said, give me permission? The great judge gives the sentence. He doesn't do it willingly. He does it because He's the judge. He can't do nothing else. You forced Him to do it. He's a God of integrity. He would like to show you mercy through the blood, but you reject that. And then when you reject that, you say, but Brother Pike, I accept His mercy. Yeah, you accept it like the world accepts it. But you'd like to go ahead and wallow in the mires out yonder and still be called a son of God. But to accept that is to believe on it, to conform to His way of life, to love Him, to be a law-abiding citizen is to learn to obey it. You might not understand it when you move into the town, but after a while you get to know it. That's the love of God, is to keep His commandments. You understand what I'm saying? So the great judge can't do nothing but what he's forced to do. Otherwise, he'd be partakers of your iniquity. He'd be at God's feet if he allowed you to go on. To keep his office, he's got to do it. He's got to do it to be a just judge. Now, if it wasn't for the grace atonement to be a just judge, you'd go immediately to hell. But he can still be a just judge, pass a sentence on you, which he had to do, and then robe himself in a human body and go by the whipping post and say, beat me in his stead. Crucify me in his stead. Punish me in his stead. That he did to be merciful. But my brother and sister, after you reject that, the Bible said there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. When you willfully go on after he's brought you to the knowledge of the truth, you willfully go on after he's passed the sentence, took the penalty on himself, then you willfully go on, there remaineth no more sacrifice. That's the only sacrifice for your sins. And the Bible said God will never again give another sacrifice for your sins because they're willful, and Christ was sacrificed for ignorance. The dove of the Old Testament was brought for ignorant sins as an atonement. And if you willfully, knowing that you've done wrong, knowing that you've been contrary, then you go on, you'll pay for it. Every transgression, you'll pay for it. There's no atonement for that kind of sin. A fearful looking up for the judgment of God, a fiery indignation that shall devour God's adversaries. Father, you said that if we willfully sin after that we come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. The world has fast come to the knowledge of the truth, Father. And I know that the atonement won't hold grace anymore. But Lord, you'll do away with the days of grace because they've come to the knowledge. And you'll destroy the world. But God, we look for new heavens and new earths wherein dwelleth righteousness. Father, be merciful to my daughter Cynthia tonight. I know that she's of age, God. But God, she's been over some hard roads, some sorrows in her life. Have mercy. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You know that her and her companion has not done right, Father. But I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd show them mercy and forgive them their sins. Help them. Dear God, spare my daughter. Heal this body. Heal it, Jesus. Oh, God. Touch wrath, Lord. Touch the family. Help them in the name of Jesus. Father, if we had our just deserts, we'd be in hell, Father. But by grace, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Let me say this while I'm praying. I don't want to weary you. But let me say this, folks. The Bible said that a prophet is never without honor save in his own country, among his own kindred. they that be of your own household shall be your problems. They said, Jesus, where'd you get the nails? He said, my friends nailed me to the cross. Not my enemies, but my friend. Is that right? He called Judas friend, didn't he? He had befriended them, treated them nice, gave them days of grace, blessed the little children, even though they'd been wretched. But because a prophet is not without honor, it doesn't mean that what that prophet says won't be just as powerful concerning his household as though he had been honored. It will happen to his wife and to his children and to his friends, his neighbors, just exactly as though they had honored everything he said. Though he's without honor as far as obedience and acknowledgement of his office, yet his word is just as powerful and they'll pay just as much as though they had honored every word. For he is not without honor to God. I want to pray for Jim, and you pray with me. Father, tonight as I pray for Jimmy, Father, we're living in a day of heavy hearts, but let his heart sing with the joy of the Lord. Oh, dear God, how I thank you for your mercy. You promise, Jesus. Hallelujah. You promise, and we believe. The name of Jesus, I feel God, Jim. Fathers, we pray for Brother Bob. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I feel Bob's faith. We believe, Jesus. Hallelujah, Bob, I feel God. Fathers, I pray for these two children. And I pray for Richard tonight. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Lord, touch him tonight. Touch these children. We believe, oh God, we believe. In the name of Jesus, strengthen his faith. Help him to eliminate every condemnation, to believe with all of his heart. Grant it, Jesus. Grant it right now in your name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight that you'd bless Sister Jo. God, that you'd help her. Bless her companion, Brother Bucky. Make them great people of God. Help them to be a real blessing, Father, a real light. In the name of Jesus tonight, break every yoke, take away everything that would hinder their Christian life, and help them to be great people of God. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for my sister tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd bless her. And dear God, bless Brother Richard tonight. Make these people a light in this generation. Father, help them to understand and to love each other. Father, to love the brethren, and Father, to walk together in the unity of faith. Give him great acknowledgement of the word, understanding, soberness of the spirit. Help him, Lord. Help his family. Help this sister, Lord, to be a great light. I'm asking tonight in the name of Jesus, break every yoke. Encourage the faith in the name of Jesus right now. Hallelujah. Father, encourage his faith and lift it up. In the name of Jesus, we believe. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, touch these little children in the sweet name of Jesus. Father, touch this sister tonight as I pray for her. Encourage her faith, Lord, and lift her up. Help her to be a light, Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, give her a good report in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for these little children. I ask you to touch them in Jesus' loving name. Father, touch this sister tonight. I ask you to bless her, Lord. Father, help Brother Toby tonight. Give him strength, Lord, to overcome evil and to labor together to be a real light for Jesus. I feel her faith right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, God, touch these people tonight. Let there be a great light. Let the day star dawn within their heart. How wonderful, Jesus. Heal this body, Jesus, and make it a light tonight. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, touch these little children. In Jesus' name tonight, Father. Touch their little bodies. Father, touch this sister tonight. Lord, as I pray for this sister, I ask in the name of Jesus, bless this sister and bless Brother Little John, Father. Make them a great team for God. Unite them together. Let the radiance of your spirit, the inspiration of your light and understanding be upon them. As I feel faith right now, Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, touch this little child in Jesus' name. Touch Sister Helen tonight. God, in Jesus' most gracious name. Father, let thy spirit, thy presence, the glory of the unseen hand, the invisible hand of God, heal this body, Lord, and encourage this faith. In the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, as I pray for our sister Lane tonight, dear God, as the songwriter said, Lord, let the invisible hands guide her. Lord, let her be led by thy spirit. Lord, as she labors with her companion, bless Brother John tonight and Mary Kay. Heal this body, Jesus. God, give the blessings of the Lord here. I feel her faith. Courage her in Jesus' name. Make a way where there's no way. In the name of Jesus. Bless Albert and Marie tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, answer the request of this little lady as we pray. Answer it. Wonderful, most noble Jesus. Jesus' name, Father, right now. Touch these little bodies in the name of Jesus. Let them feel the wonderful spirit and presence of God in Jesus' name. Fathers, I pray for Willie tonight. In Jesus' gracious name, be kind to Willie. Lord, you've led him here. There's a reason. There is a reason. Heal his body, his family. Touch he and his wife, his children tonight. Oh God, that wonderful Holy Ghost I feel right now, streaming through my body. Oh God, stir with his faith to help him to feel it, to help him to believe with all of his heart, to surrender. I feel his faith moving right now, to surrender and to believe. Not to reason, Lord, but to believe in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for my brother. I pray that a special touch from heaven would come down. Father, I believe that this is a good man, Lord, that I'm praying for. I believe he loves you. He's young, Lord, and he don't understand. But he wants to understand. He wants to be loyal. He wants to find the truth. Heal his body. I feel you doing something for him now. Oh God, fill him with the Holy Ghost. In the name of the loving child Jesus. Grant it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, as I pray for Johnny, make him a light, Jesus. A great light. Help him to be a light to his people. Help him to believe, Lord. To believe with all of his heart, to trust you, to release himself in thee, to trust in thee with all of his heart. Lift his faith up right now. Lift his faith up. Inspire him. Help him to believe as I feel the Spirit in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as I pray for my brother Ron, I pray that you'd see this honest heart, God. And the desires, Lord, that's in this man's heart to be a leader, Lord, and to be clean and upright. Help him not to lean to his own understanding, nor to reason, but God, to believe with all of his heart. I want you to touch him tonight. Do something special for him, Jesus. He's come and yielded himself before you. Heal his body. I feel you touching him now. The power of the Holy Ghost right now. I feel his faith, Father. Hallelujah. God, give him a double portion of thy presence in his life. Let him walk with you. Oh, God, and talk with you and understand. In the name of Jesus, grant it right now. Grant it right now. Help him. Bless his little wife, his children. Bless what he does. Be with him. In the name of Jesus. Make it to prosper. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, touch this little lad in Jesus' sweet name. Hallelujah. Touch these little children in Jesus' name, Father. As I lay my hands on them, I ask you to bless them in Jesus' sweet name. You love Jesus. Let's stand together. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me.